This will be Experiencing the Reality of God, Part 3. And we said the last couple of weeks, and I want you to get this part, God operates by faith. He's not telling you to do something he doesn't do. So that's what we're looking at. So we're looking at these verses here in Romans, the verses I quoted right up there, and I'll read them to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith we preach. As we said last week, Paul is summing up his message. He's not just his message, but he said the word we preach. He's talking all the apostles, everybody that's preaching, this is what they preached in the early church, the word of faith. You don't know what doctrine they had, the word of faith. And that's what he said, the word of faith we preach. And then he goes on to describe it. That if thou shalt confess, the word confess is you're saying the same thing as, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That word believeth, again, it's faithing. It's the man faithing. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word of faith. The word of faith. And I'm telling you what, if you can start to get a hold of this, if you can start to get a hold of what I'm telling you, it'll change your life and everybody's around you. Word of faith. Confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, and the church has missed this. Church has missed so many things. They took this confession and you start trying to confess something that's not so. You don't confess something to make it so. You confess something because it is so. You know? You go in the court system or the police, they try to get a confession out of you. They're trying to get you to say that you did something. So here I'm confessing something that God has already done. What? God has raised Jesus up from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. So we seen last week that God is a speaking God, not like all the other gods. He speaks in the beginning. He said, let there be light. I don't know if you ever, in your imagination, you let the Holy Spirit take you to that time and you're just like standing on the water and you hear God say, let dry land appear, and there it appears. Let there be trees, and let there be birds, and let there be bears, and let there be, you know, rabbits and hippopotamuses. And I don't know if you ever just hear those words and then God says it and it's so. When God says those words, power is released in those words, power to create. Power went forth to create when God spoke. I don't know if you get a hold of that. Power went forth to speak. Well, that's God speaking. People say, well, that's God speaking. Well, you're made in His image. You're made in His likeness. He's in you. You're in Him. We don't understand the power of our words. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to try to explain this to you. Maybe if you can get this picture, you can understand it. But God is spirit. The scriptures bears that out. God is invisible spirit. He's spirit. But what he's doing here is he puts himself into the form of breath. You know, that word spirit is called pneuma, breath. So the invisible God, who is spirit, puts himself into the form of breath. And in the form of that breath, it becomes sound. We can do that. We turn that breath that we have in us into sound. Right? So my invisible spirit that you can't see, it's in me. I'm just breathing, but yet I'm forming that into the breath, and it's taking on words, and the words is coming out of my mouth. So what I have done just by me speaking, I have formed my spirit. I have formed my spirit into breath sounds, into words, right? I have formed myself into breath sounds. Olga's giving me an evil look. Got the raised eyebrow look. What you talking about with us? So the breath sounds that I'm bringing to you. So the inmost me is coming to you in sounds. I am coming to you in sound form. And I express as I'm speaking to you what I want it to be. Right now I want a particular kind of blessing to be for you. So it's coming out of my mouth and it's coming to you. So it's not words coming to you. I want you to understand this. You hear it as words, but it's me coming to you. Are you with me? It's me in word form, in sound form, coming to you. It included in that sound form is my wisdom and my intention, my determination. It's all coming out of my mouth. Coming to you. So when God said, when the invisible God spirit, when he spoke, all of that happened. He brought in those words. The sound form came into words, and the words took on substance. Now God's word takes on substance. So when he says dry land appear, dry land appears. We read in Hebrews what? Now faith is the substance. Now faith. I love how it just even says that right there. We're going to look at it just, I mean, a little bit. Now faith. Not yesterday faith. Not tomorrow faith. Now faith. You know, and I always think about the manna. You can't eat yesterday's manna. You can't have tomorrow's manna. You can have today's manna. Now faith is. So you're never going to have faith for tomorrow. You're never going to have faith for yesterday. You got faith for today. Now faith is the substance. Now we're talking about the word of faith we preach. So the word of faith here that we preach has substance to it. So when God says, let there be, substance comes of that. I'm telling you guys, it's the same way with us. When I speak, I've just told you, when I speak, it's me coming to you in another form. My spirit, my will, my determination inside of me, I'm forming it into words, and I'm breathing and speaking those words out. So it's me coming to you. And I want you to understand that the words are very powerful. So it's coming at you in a very powerful form. Word form. I'm going out to do what I determine. So I'm here to bless you. So my words are formed and they're coming at you to bless you. But you know, those words are coming at you. They're going right into your ear. You do. So the words that I'm speaking are coming right inside of you, going right into your ear. Now you can choose to receive that or not. As you receive it, it comes in. And as you receive it, guess what happens? It begins to take on substance. Begins to take on substance. I don't know if you get a hold of this, but you see, some Christians, especially in the Western world, we got such witchcraft and magic stuff that goes on because we don't understand how things work. You realize that God came, that this angel, this holy angel comes to a Virgin Mary. There's nothing in her womb. There's nothing there. How did that holy thing get in her womb? He spoke it. And what does she do? She agreed. Be it unto me according to thy word. And that word that was spoken to her took on substance, and a holy thing was formed in her. So the words that I'm speaking to you, as you receive them, are taking on substance, and something is being created inside of you. So if you want me to stay inside of you, I can, or you can close it off. But you know what? If you close it off, it's just like when Jesus told them disciples, you go into the house, speak blessings into the house. If they receive you, go in. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet, move on. So my words are coming into you. You can receive it. It's there to bless you, but if you don't, it's still going forth, and it'll land on somebody who will receive it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is how it happens. He says, and I'll just give you this here. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, that which I determined it to do. It shall go, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now listen, I know he's prophesied here, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Now he ain't dwelling among us, now he's dwelling in you. Amen. So the words, it's him going out, and it's taking on substance. It's how we as humans operate. No other creature in the world can speak. They might make a parrot or something, but it can't speak of itself. We're the only ones made in God's image. As God functions by faith, by the word of faith, we also function in that same way. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. All of our words are spirit, but all of our words are not life. Our words, as we said last week, can destroy people. Our words can tear down, put in bondage. You ever wonder why Israel got in so much trouble? I mean, just go back and look. Israel comes out of Egypt by a mighty, strong arm of the Lord. They get into the wilderness, manna's falling every day, waters from a rock, and they stayed in trouble. Why? It was because of their words. Their words were always complaining. I don't know if you understand that, but only words out of their mouth was complaining. I gotta show you some scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 4. See, today, in the church world, you know, a church world that always preaches about sin, they know what sin is. Sin is smoking cigarettes and drinking beer and going to bars and all that other stuff. You know, that because the church world wants to be righteous and sit over here and say, well, I don't do none of that stuff. Y'all do that stuff. I don't, so I'm righteous and holy. But what if I told you that complaining was sin? Now, we don't want to hear that because most of the words out of our mouth are not life. Most of the words out of our mouth, We're just like the ones in the wilderness. We don't understand the word of faith that we preach. We don't understand that the words of death come out of our mouth. Let me just read this to you. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 12. Take heed. You know what take heed means? Take heed means pay real close attention here. Let this sink in real good. Pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. I thought an evil heart meant I wanted to go to a bar. But he's calling an evil heart of unbelief. Now, you know what that word belief is right there? It's faith. So I could say, there be any of you an evil heart of unfaithing. So, I mean, the word belief and faith, that's the word here. Belief, faith. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of no faith. Now, we're talking about the word of faith, which we preach. The word that is nigh thee in your mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaking. He says, in departing from the living God. Now, I have to just look here, and I'm just talking here for a minute. I have to look, and I think, how can I depart from the living God, who is everywhere and not restricted by time? See, if I read that with just a natural mind, I think, well, God's over there, and I left him. Well, in him I live and move and have my being. I can't leave him in that sense. But what I can do is move my mind away from his very presence. Do you understand? That's why I said abide in me and I in you. Abide in the vine. I can in my mind not acknowledge him in all his ways and all his doing. I can act like he's over yonder. I can in my mind act like I'm separated from him. So he's telling me, take heed. Take heed right here in departing from the living God, but exhort one another how often? Daily. While it is called today. Now, today is capitalized. We don't capitalize today in the middle of a sentence. So this is, while it is called today, that today, I mean, this is the day of the Lord he's talking about, the day of the Lord. This is not some day you're going to find on a calendar. You see, there is a calendar days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then there's an all-encompassing day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. He's the light. He's the day. We're talking another realm here, but that's another thing. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, what's he calling the deceitfulness of sin? He's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Guess what? They didn't have any bars to go to in the wilderness. The bars of them Amorites. And don't you go over there to the skating rink and do all them things. They didn't have none of that stuff. They're in the wilderness. They didn't have nothing but snakes around them. We talked about that the other day. That's what they had around them. They didn't have no food. They couldn't go down there and... The deceitfulness of sin. What is the deceitfulness of sin here? It's the heart of unbelief. It's the heart of no faith. He's warning you. Take heed. Take heed. Don't be deceived by this hardness of heart. Why did I say hardness of heart? Because my words, the words, they come into your ear. And they go down into this heart, this fertile soil or hard and stony ground. And they can get in there and they can either take root, or they can just bounce off, or they can just, you not receive it. You understand what I'm talking about? All these is pictured. For we are made partakers of Christ. Partakers. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, to the end. Confidence. Man, I would love to spend a lot of time on that right there. The confidence, because most people I've talked to ain't got a lick of confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. Most of them have no confidence in Jesus. That's why they're trying to keep the law. That's why they got 10 commandments posted up everywhere, because you got no confidence in the blood of Jesus. Oh my God, I've got to do something here. got to serve him. I've got to do something to make him happy. He's not happy in one sacrifice. I've got to. You see what I mean? So I'd love to spend a lot of time on that confidence right there, but I know who I'm talking to. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, my God, here we are back to a speaking God, a God who operates by faith. If you will hear his voice, hear has got more to do, not just hearing it. I hear you. Hearing has to do with not only but hearing it, but being obedient to the words that I hear. I'm going to be, hearing has in it the words obedience. I'm going to be obedient to the words that I hear. If you will be obedient, you will harden not your hearts. Paul here, the writer of the Hebrews, is talking to the Hebrews in that day. And he says, guys, don't harden your heart like they did down yonder. Don't do it. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Paul talks about you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now here's God was grieved 40 years. He just brought them out of Egypt. Destroyed all of their enemies. All their enemies washed up on the seashore. They're dead. They grieved God for 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? How did they sin? I told you they didn't sin by going to bars. They didn't sin by drinking beer. They didn't sin by smoking cigarettes. They couldn't go down to Walmart's. They sinned because they did not receive the word of faith. They wouldn't receive it. Wouldn't receive it. They spent their days complaining. They loathed this light bread. God, you just brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness. Would to God we could go back to Egypt with the leeks and the garlics. We liked it better over yonder. You understand? They spent all the time complaining. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Who did he swear? God swore that they wouldn't enter into his rest. But to them that believed not, to them that had no faith. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't have faith. Unbelief. What was their sin? Unbelief. Their sin was unbelief. Let us. Now Paul said, okay, guys, now listen. Huddle up here. Huddle up, you know, gather around me here. Let me tell you what. Let us therefore fear. In other words, guys, let us be in awe of this great thing that I'm telling you. Let us be in awe. Fear, respect is what I'm talking about. Let us have great respect. Lest a promise being left us, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. For unto us was the gospel preached. What was the gospel? The word of faith that we preach. As well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why did not the word profit them? Not being mixed with faith. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Not being mixed with faith. Not being mixed with faith. Let me try to explain something here so you can get this picture. You know, we got towns, town of Tasman, town of Berwyn, town of Holacre. We got counties, we got cities, we got cultures. We got churches. What are they? What makes Tasman the town? What makes the town of Richland the town of Richland? Is it the pavement? Is it the bricks and the mortar and the glass? It's words. It's words that came into substance. It's Somebody comes through here hundreds of years ago, and they began to speak because hundreds of years ago there was no town here. And so somebody came in and they began to talk about, we should put a town here. We should have a town here. And some more people came in and they said, yeah, we should have a town here. What are we going to call it? They named it. They named it Richlands. And then it grew. And then other people came. So it's words that took on substance is what built it. So it's built on words. They said it. It took on substance. You with me? So this whole place here is a place of spirit words. The church that we're in right now is a result of spirit words. We got together up in Baptist Valley and we began to speak and to talk about this, and it took on substance, and here we are. It was spoken to be. Words spoken in the power of the Spirit brought it into being. Once you get a hold of this, guys, what I'm telling you, that's why Paul said, let us fear, because it's both exciting and frightening, because you can bring death into being. The words of your mouth. That's why he says, be in all of this fear. Be in all of these words that come out of your mouth. I just think sometimes, like I believe it was Job said, let me just put my hands over my mouth. Let me just cover my mouth. Been saying all the bad stuff for so long, whining and moaning and complaining for so long. Let me just cover my mouth. And you know, when you walk into a place, when you walk into a town, I don't know if you guys travel much, when you walk into a city, when you fine-tune your spiritual antenna, you can tell what spirit words built that place. You can. I've been into places before. You can just feel the evil there. You think I'm crazy. I mean, you get your antenna tuned right, you can tell it. You come to some places, they're built on tradition. Cities, towns, churches, built on tradition. They say, in this town, in this church, we do it this way. This is the way we've always done it. You know what tradition is, really, in this thing? That means several years ago, maybe hundreds, maybe 1,000 years ago. Somebody said, this is the way it shall be done. And they spoke that with much determination, or we should say they spoke that with much faith, and it's came into being. You know, Tracy's brother Scott tell me the story about a lady in a cooking ham every year for Thanksgiving, I believe it was, and she cut the end of the ham off. And this went on, you know, for years and years. Finally, somebody asked her why she cut the end of the ham off. She said, well, I don't know. Let me ask my mom. She asked her mom. She said, well, I don't know. Let me ask my mom. So when she asked her mom, she said, well, that cost the pan I had was too short. See, tradition came into being because she had it too short of a pan. But now, if we're going to cook ham, we got to cut the end of the ham off, because that's the way we're doing around here, by God. Real ham cookers cut the end of the ham. You see what I mean? And it comes into being. So others pick up on this, and the place gets built upon this much faith. This is the way we do it. This is, I mean, there's songs written. This is our town. This is our town. This is how we do it in our town. But then when the next generation comes along, they pick right up onto it. They add their spiritual bricks to it. Next generation, same thing. So now we got generation upon generation upon generation, all built up on tradition. What they've done is they've produced a stronghold in our midst. It's a daggone fortress. It's an invisible fortress that's right in our midst. See, you can't see it unless you have spiritual eyes to see it. It's a stronghold. It's a prison house. It's intimidating. Keeps people. people in bondage. You can't really put your finger on it, but unless you got real eyes and real ears to hear, then you're scared of it. What do you mean scared of it? Because they use words. You can tell it when you get into the vicinity of it. You can tell because of the speech that comes out of it. They say, you can't do that here. You ever heard that? Well, you can't do that here. You ever get away with that here? Or how about this one? What would they say? What would... Oh, if they saw you, what would they say? Who's they? They is the ones that built this thing. They's are dead. They's has been dead for 150 years. But they is going to be saying something. So you see, so you can tell the stronghold you come in, but what would they say? Listen, Jesus went through it all the time. What would they say? You healing on the Sabbath? What would they say? What would they say that he did those things and told this woman it's been over 18 years to stand up straight? What are they going to say to you? You can't do that. Our tradition is we don't heal on the Sabbath. We can pull our donkeys out of the ditch on a Sabbath. You know, that's okay. But we don't heal on the Sabbath, Jesus. I don't know. What are they going to say? All these spirit bricks go out and make these strongholds. These controlling, intimidating. What do you think Jesus was talking about? You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. See, they took it literally and they thought, we are free. We are free. We're not in prison. Church people today think they're free. They're not free. They're in bondage to some words that God spoke 200 years ago. They're in bondage. You'll know the truth. The truth. You know, I told you that word the last couple of weeks, the word truth there, that's the word reality. You'll know the reality. The reality will make you free. What is the reality? Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised Him from the dead. I mean, you got... This stuff is stronger than any natural fort, any natural city that's ever been built. And I know it. I mean, you can just see it. You can hear it. You got families that are built on it. I mean, you got maybe some cruel grandpa, great-grandpa years ago in his family, and he spoke these cruel words. This is the way we do it in my family. And he's controlled marriages and split up marriages and split up families, and it's went on for generations. Moms that have done, grandmas, they've done the same thing, and the words that they spoke has went in, and families are built on it and in bondage to it. And if ever the gospel is going to come into that invisible fortress, that fortress has got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Jericho had to be dealt with. The walls of Jericho had to be dealt with. The strongholds had to be dealt with. They don't even know it's there. They can't see it's there. But how can Jesus be Lord in that place when tradition is Lord? See, the church is always going, we're going to say Jesus is Lord, but really Jesus ain't Lord. Can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So really what's in dominion right there is the powers of darkness. So what we have again here is a clash. Right? We have a clash of light and of darkness. You know, let me give you these verses. I'm gonna get some more verses here. But I want you to see right here. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons. So a warfare, and we got weapons. I'm telling you, when you come into the church is not... My God, I want you to hear me right here. The church is not a hospital for the sick. The church is a barracks. And anybody that knows anything about warfare, when you go into the military, you go stay in a barracks. This is the great army of God. We got to understand this. The church has been too much babies for so long. They need to grow up and come into this warfare. But when we come into this warfare, there are weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But, however, they are mighty. How? Through God, to the pulling down of these strongholds, of these fortresses that have been built. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I wonder what that obedience of Christ is. It's obedience of faith. What? That Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised Him from the dead. You'll see here. You'll see. I mean, I know when I talk to people, I know. I can sense it. I can see it. Tradition has got them in bondage. The tradition, that stronghold's got to be dealt with before they're ever going to come to the knowledge of the truth. They won't hear a word I say until that fortress is tore down. Do you know Israel marched around Jericho? They didn't say anything, but you would have thought. I mean, looking back, hindsight, you would have thought somebody would have put up the white flag and said, you know what, I surrender. They did not surrender. They didn't do nothing until the walls came down. I wonder how the walls came down. Words. They began to shout. Anyway, who are you? You know, you realize that you are a mass of woven words? We all are. A mass of words. People have spoken into our lives. Could have been your parents. Could have been your great-grandparents. Somebody said, you can't do that. You'll never amount to nothing. And that, you know, somebody says that to you at 3 or 4 years old. You don't even know. But you don't have censorship at that age. You tell me that now, and it goes into one ear and out the other. I don't pay no attention. You tell that to a three-year-old, it goes in and takes root. And their whole life, they grow up thinking, I can't do that. I'll never be nothing. I'll never amount to anything. And they're what? They're kept in bondage. It's a web that has woven them in. So when I'm talking salvation, guys, I'm talking salvation today. Well, it's called today. This is where we need it, you know. So limitations got put on you right out of the gate. I mean, at 4 years old, did anybody tell you you was made the image of the living God? No. You can't do that. Stop that. Don't go. You can't do that. You can't go there. That's for rich folks. That's not for you. You're just an old poor folk, right? And you begin to believe it, and it becomes a part of who you are. So you're just a man. Other kids start telling you that. Other kids start calling you names, and you start to believe it. And you know, man outside of Jesus Christ, He builds strongholds. He builds cities. Many, many churches are built outside of Jesus Christ. And all of them, they with their words, they proclaim the original lie. The lie that says, apart from God, you can be God. So then that city, that church becomes a proclamation of the lie. Well, you know, motivational speakers that listen, they say some really good things. The problem is the source. Their source is them. And when your source is you, you're up the creek. The source is Christ in you. That's the source. So when they begin to proclaim those things, they proclaim, come to our city. Come to our church. We have all the answers. It's a proclamation of man saying, I can do it myself. Many ministries are built on, you can do it yourself. And yeah, I know you're looking at me like, I don't know any ministries like that. Oh yeah, there are many ministries that are like that. They say, look, you can do it yourself. Here's the Ten Commandments. Go do this. Okay? Do as many as you can. You know, if you keep seven or eight of them, that's good. We should keep them. And then, you know, grace will get the other two. Go do it. That's a proclamation of the lie. You got to come to that law and you've got to say, I can do nothing. Of myself, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who dunamis is me, is my strength. You understand what I'm saying here? Ministries that say, do these rituals, keep these traditions, serve God in any way, shape, or fashion. You come into the church, you got to serve Him, you know. What are you going to do for Him? I mean, God is not worshipped by man's hands as though He needed anything. Right? You know, like God says, you better serve me, I'll bust you up. All those things are strongholds, guys. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Tower of Babel. I'd love to spend a lot of time here, but they wanted to build a tower that they reached into heaven. They wasn't trying to reach God. They wanted to proclaim themselves as God. It was really a New Age temple. I decided to say the astrological temple. Where we get our words like fortuna and luck. I mean, just go through the day today and see how many times you say, when I was fortunate. Fortunate, or I was lucky. What you're really saying is the God of luck blessed me. Not Jehovah, not the Lord Jesus Christ blessed me. But really, I want to give my praise and honor to the God of luck. I want to give my praise and honor to the God of good fortune. And there's a little Tower of Babel in every store around here called the lottery, because you want to go in there and play the lucky five. It's right there. It's a little Tower of Babel right there, so you can go in there and pay your homage to the God of luck and hope you get blessed with some money. Anyway, that's another story. But in the Tower of Babel, God comes there and He says, see, the people is one. And they all have one language. And God says, this is what they've done. Because they all speak the same language, nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing will be restrained from them. God says, we got to stop this. If man as one solid force of evil, that's what they were. There was one solid force of evil, all speaking evil the same. All speaking self-seeking, self-centered. If they could all speak the same thing, they'll weave such a web of evil, it'd be nearly impossible for salvation to come. So what did God do? God split up their languages, divided them. That's how powerful what I'm telling you about is. Look, let me go back over here. You don't believe me, but listen. In light of what I've been telling you, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren. I'm getting your attention again. I beseech you, brethren. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What have we been talking about? Lord Jesus Christ. I'm beseeching you now by the... Not Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. I'm beseeching you by the Lord Jesus Christ. That ye all speak the same thing. Wonder what he's talking about right here. And that there be no divisions among you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That we all speak the same thing. I would that the church's words would come together and speak the same thing. What? Jesus Christ is Lord. But you can't say that except by the Holy Spirit. And listen, I'm telling you, we're talking a whole other dimension there. We're talking the dimension of the holy place and the most holy place. And most Christians are caught up out here at the brass altar. And if you come on Wednesday, you would understand what I'm telling you about. But they're caught up out here at the brass altar. They haven't come inside to the place of communion, the place of fellowship, the place of worship. understand what I'm telling you? Be of the same mind and the same judgment. That same judgment right there, judgment, and that word means the same determination. I wish you all had the same will, the same determination. What is it? God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I wish you would understand and let the will of God come up out of you, because the will of God is in you. But we're too self-centered to understand that. So God had to break up their language. He weakened their ability to give substance to evil. He weakened their ability to give substance to evil. And He tells us this thing is so strong on the other hand. If I can get two or three people together in His name, just two or three people together to come together speaking the same thing. My God, what could we do? But we can't get there's a church on every daggone corner. Why? Because nobody agrees with anybody. I got my doctrine, you got your doctrine. So what is faith? The word of faith we preach. So let me just try to explain this a little bit. What are we talking about? The word of faith, think of faith as the eye. That's why a person with faith never talks about faith. I know some people that all they talk about is their faith. I don't go around talking about my eye. And I sure don't take my eye out to go examine how much faith I got. The faith is the eye. I ain't going to take it out. Oh, look how much faith I got. Oh, my big old faith. Look at it. I mean, faith is really, my eye is focused on the object. I'm not thinking about my eye. I'm thinking about the object that I'm focused on. And what's the object I'm focused on? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the reality. And faith is that simple gift. It comes as a simple gift of God to see the reality, to see the truth. That the focus of all history is that Jesus is Lord. He's been exalted and carried me with Him. He didn't get up by Himself. But once I see that, guys, I can see what is not truth. You know, once you see truth, once you see reality, you see what's not. I see how unreal it is. I see how empty it really is. With faith, I can see what is truth, what is solid. So what happens when I look out and I see the darkness? Because it's there. I'm not denying it's there. I mean, this is the whole heart of this whole matter. Is what? The word of faith. The word of faith that we preach. So I submit by faith to God's reality. How do I do that? How do I submit to God's reality? By looking at that appearance, I see the appearance of the darkness, and I say that's only an empty appearance. And then I confess with my mouth. That means I proclaim it with my mouth the real. And the real is, even in the face of this, Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised Him from the dead. The real truth of the matter here is, and see, I can't make it come into substance, but the Holy Spirit is in me, and He brings those words that I'm saying into substance. Listen, let me give you some more verses. You understand what I'm telling you about. These things, they'll sink in with you. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11, verse 4. Listen to this. But with righteousness He shall judge the poor. My God, I thought He was going to judge the sinners, Job. I thought the sinners were going to get judged. He's judging the poor. We'll scratch that verse out. Take that verse out of your Bible. And reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth. How's He going to smite the earth? I thought He was going to do it with the plague. Thought it was going to be fire. Right here it says, with the word of His mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. See, that Hebrew spoke in what's called a parallelism. They spoke the same thing twice. They're not speaking two different things. He's saying the same thing twice, one from a different angle. He says, he shall smite the earth. Who's the he here? He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about the Christ. He said, Christ shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. The word rod there is a scepter. It's the king's scepter. Whenever, and the way it worked with those, wherever the king lowered a scepter and pointed, that meant he had authority right there. So, the symbol is his, or the scepter is a symbol of his authority, of his rule. It's saying that his authority to rule is where? In his mouth. And with the breath, what is the breath? The breath that I've been telling you, the breath that turns into sounds, it turns into words. And what does those words do? Those words slay the wicked. One translation says it that he slays the wicked with the sentences of his mouth. Hosea. Let me go back over there. Hosea chapter 6, verse 5. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgments as the light that goeth forth. Again, this is a parallelism. He's saying the same thing. He's saying the judgment's like light that comes out of my mouth. The words that I'm speaking, they're like light that's coming out into the darkness. If you can hear the words that I'm saying, you know, they come in and they're like laser beams coming out. And he says his words, they shred the darkness. How about Revelation? Oh, yeah. Revelation. Let's go over there and look at that one. Revelation 1:16. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Man, if we take Revelation literally, Jesus is a monster with swords coming out of his mouth. I just read it to you. He's got a sharp, two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, if we take it literally. Plus, he looks weird. Feet's all brass. Laser beam eyes. But here he is. Out of his mouth, a sharp, two-edged sword. Now, this word sword here, it's not a dress sword. You know, in the military, we had dress swords. There was a dress sword, and there was an aggressive war sword. So what he's saying is out of his mouth comes this aggressive sword of war. It's aggressive. You know what aggression means? I'm coming at you. I read in Revelation where he's coming at you. The gospel is going forth. The gospel ain't sitting over there. The gospel is going forth, conquering and to conquer. You with me? It's a sword of war. How about Revelation 2:16? Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The them there, he's talking, I will fight against them. He's talking about them that are holding the doctrine of Balaam. How's he going to fight with them? Fighting with them with the sword of his mouth. All right, you ain't believing me yet. Revelation 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Man, I'm telling you what. Here again, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That with it, with what? The sharp sword that goes out of his mouth, he shall smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is what he said back over in Isaiah. This is what he said in Hosea. And now he's saying it again. Where's the aggressive sword coming from? It's coming out of his mouth. What's coming out of the breath of his lips? Words that are formed and comes out. I mean, what? Listen. Here's a little mini picture of this, but the woman caught in adultery is a picture of the words that going out of his mouth slaying the wicked, because they said the law, Moses says, she should be stoned. What do you say? And the words that came out of his mouth was what? He that has not sinned, let him cast the first stone. And they were slain. They all left, from the eldest to the least. He slew them. With a rod, with a sharp two-edged sword that went out of his mouth. He slew them. The light that come out of his mouth slew them. He'll smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron, a scepter. And then in verse 21, he's talking again. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. So where's the sword coming from? I mean, I've been giving you verse into verse into verse into verse. What sword is it? This aggressive sword of war is coming out of his mouth. Guys, we got to be practical with these things here. Very practical. Now let me show you something here. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Yeah, have you ever, you know, we said this the other day. People say, take the Christian armor. There's no such thing as Christian armor. Christian armor is baloney. That's Saul's stuff. It's God's armor. It's God's armor. Take to you the whole armor of God. And look what he says. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. God gives to me His armor. His armor, part of that armor is this aggressive sword. This aggressive sword that goes out tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations, smiting the nations, ruling the earth with the breath of his lips. And what is it? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That armor. The words going out of my mouth. I don't know if you get a hold of this. The word that originates in God is in your mouth. We read that verse. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. We started out right there in Romans. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. And you say it out. You say it out. We confess. We say words, guys, that come out of God's heart. Guess what came out of God's heart? All of this right here is the written word. And we know the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now that word that became flesh and dwelt among us dwells in you and is nigh thee in your heart. This is the written word that he said. And when you say those words, the very sword of God is in your mouth. And it's how we do battle. It's God's breath joined to our breath. And it's a going forth of power. And as it goes forth, it gives substance to reality. It swallows up the unreality. It smites and shreds and judges all of the unreality. That's what Paul would go on to say in Romans. He calls those things that are not as though they were. He calls those things that are not as though they were. He doesn't call those things as are as though they're not. You ever come up on somebody and they got the flu and they're there trying to be religious? Oh, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. He's not trying to come. The reality is you have the flu. But there's a greater reality that swallows up that. The reality of Jesus Christ is Lord. Now what I mean, we go all the way back to the Old Testament, and what's it say? I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I told you the proper translation of that is, I am the Lord your health. So in the midst of I have the flu, there's another confession, a greater reality that swallows up the one. The reality is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your health. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm almost finished here, Jeff. I'm just about 3 minutes, really. The Lord is your health, and I speak it. I speak it. When I feel guilt, I don't say the guilt is not there. I'm saying the blood of Jesus cleanseth me from all sin. I'm proclaiming into the darkness that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm proclaiming that Satan has been defeated. There's no rematch. David being faced by all the enemies. I mean, I told you Psalm 23 over and over. He's being hunted down by his own son Absalom. And he's running. He's fleeing. And in the midst of David running for his life, in the midst of the darkness, David says, wait a minute. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In the midst of the darkness, David says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Today, while it is called today, I'm confessing here with a heart of a belief, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my life. He is my salvation. He is my health today. Last verse is right here, Ezekiel. Here's old Ezekiel. Ezekiel goes to church one morning to preach. He's got a sermon all laid out. And all of his congregation, a bunch of dry bones. Very dry. Very dry. Ezekiel, what you got to say to them dry bones? Can they live? Oh, Lord, I don't know. Probably not, Lord, I don't know. Bunch of dry bones. Well, Ezekiel, I want you to speak to the bones. I mean, that's what he said, prophesy to the bones. Now, that sounds crazy, don't it? Now, we understand and we rejoice in the message, but what's he saying? Ezekiel, say the things that I'm put in your heart. Prophesy to the dry bones. Say to the dry bones, old dry bones, come together. And my gosh, they started rattling and coming together, and sinew and flesh came upon them. But guess what? That's all that happened. Well, you need to go back and say to them again. Look what he says here. I know I need you to speak to them again. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesy. What's he doing? He's speaking the word of faith. I love this when I go read. I read these verses because Ezekiel didn't even have to come up with a sermon. God comes to him and says, here's what you say. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, come four winds, and breathe upon these. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. What? An exceeding great army. I told you the church ain't a hospital. Church is a barracks. Exceeding great army, an army that's aggressive with the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the words that they speak, words of life. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. Now listen. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Now, guys, I just want to throw this out there, because he ain't talking about a natural grave here. He's talking to Israel. Where were they? Where were they? In Ezekiel, where were they? Go all the way to the beginning of Ezekiel. Let me tell you where they were. He was by the river Chebar in the land of the Chaldeans. They were in Babylonian captivity. God had buried them in Babylon. Babylon is where all this language, all this evil was. And he says, I'm going to open the graves of Babylon and bring you out. I'm going to open up the graves of your bondage that you've been in, that's held you captive. All the words that have kept you in bondage your whole life. These towns, these strongholds, these cities, and I'm calling you forth. I'm calling you forth. Jesus did it up with Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. He's been dead. He stinks. And then what did he say to the people? You loose him and let him go. How do I loose and let you go? I'm just like Ezekiel. I'm just prophesying. Old wind come and blow on them. I'm just saying the same thing. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The word of faith that we preach. A word of the salvation. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Lord, we take so much with these verses, and we go everywhere with them. And I'm just talking about the reality, the truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the words that come out of your mouth, the words of life, or the words of death, or the words of bondage, it's there. You know, these are those times, guys, when we have to stand still. Think about the words that are about to come out of our mouth. Think about all the complaining that we're about to do, or about the prophesying that we're about to do. And I'm telling you, I get two or three people speaking the same thing. Paul's prayer all the way back there was, I would that you all spoke the same thing. I just need two or three people speaking the same thing. That's coming together, speaking the same thing. I've said this before, and I'll say this. God, he's in us through his Holy Spirit. And he gave to man dominion over the earth. And he rules through us and by us, by our words. The church world has been duped into flying away instead of taking responsibility for what's going on around us. A new earth means that the church has stood up and began to take authority over what the Lord has given us. No more death reigning, but life. It doesn't have to be the way it is, guys. It doesn't have to be the way it is. And when the church wakes up to that, then they can start speaking the reality of truth right into this. I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you the truth. If you hear these words that I'm telling you, they'll go in and there'll be substance, and life will start to come forth. I'm telling you. Well, I go on and on. I'll get out of the way.